Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll be joined by Rafael Barlow from the NBA Big Board podcast for an expert's take on the NBA draft and what the Heat should be looking for at number 27, and we'll name some potential targets that make some sense. All of that and much more coming up next.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on all things Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Vermil. However you may be joining us on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. One live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. Every show is going live on draft night. So join us 15 minutes after the Heat's pick on Locked On Heat on YouTube for the immediate reaction from your local experts. Subscribe now to Locked On Heat, so you know when we go live. We are joined today by Rafael Barlow, who does great work on the NBA Big Board podcast, the NBA Big Board newsletter over on Substack. He's as good as it gets when it comes to scouting and talking about these draft guys. And I know, Rafael, that you've done a lot of work on the top guys of the draft, which is what most of the conversation focuses on around this time. But the Heat have the 27th pick. So tell us, how deep is this draft and what sort of players are the Heat looking at here at the end of the first round?
You know, I actually like this draft. And one of the reasons I like the draft is because I think it's going to be a wild night. And I don't think there's that much of a difference between guys projected to go 15 through about 35. So with Miami's pick, they can end up getting a guy that may have been projected mid first round, or they could get somebody that was a freshman that was highly touted coming into this college basketball season, may have had a difficult year, but they believe in the talent. And, you know, as you guys know, in Miami, nobody does a better job of developing kind of no names in a sense and turning them into high level rotation players. So I think Miami is in a good spot here.
When you mentioned those names, guys that could, you know, maybe have a disappointing freshman year, though they were highly touted at high school, are there specific guys that you're thinking of?
There's a guy, Peyton Watson, who was projected as a top 10 pick coming into the draft, went to UCLA, kind of got stuck behind Johnny Juzang and Jamie Hawkins. UCLA went to the Final Four the year before, and I'm sure he was anticipating one or both of those guys going to the NBA. They decided to stay, and it kind of was the odd man out. Has the potential to be a, you know, a big wing ball handler and defender. The outside shot is an issue, but he has a tremendous amount of talent.
And that's somebody that could potentially go at the end of the first round, because David and I have been doing these scouting reports the last week or so, and that's not somebody that we've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as like reaching for somebody that was a projected first rounder that may fall in the second, that, you know, if they really like him, I think with Miami, because of, you know, their front office job security, if there's a guy that they really like, I don't think it matters where he's projected at. They'll take him because, you know, they have a certain culture that guys need to fit. So he is someone that, you know, you get Miami and develop a jump shot, he can definitely outplay his draft position.
Mm-hmm. Is he a player that could potentially fall out of the draft altogether and potentially go undrafted? Because Miami's had such a great amount of success mining undrafted players, and it seems like he might be one of those guys that could be potentially falling out of the draft altogether.
I think he'll get drafted. If he does go undrafted, I think it would be a situation where his agent decides, like, you know what, we'll just pick our destination. Because I've heard that a lot of teams in the second round are probably looking to two-way guys. And so I've heard agents may say, well, if a guy's going to get a two-way contract and you're not going to guarantee him for the whole year, then you might as well not draft us and let us pick our destination where we can get the clearest path to some playing time. So I think that's going to be a cat-and-mouse game that we're going to see in this year's draft. So there may be some guys that will be surprised that they're undrafted, but it's because they have they've mentioned that they want to go undrafted. They want to pick their spots.
Yeah, I'm curious. Are you aligned enough with agents where you've heard that Miami is a place where they'd like to go based on that reputation of developing two-way players? Like, if you're going to fall and become a two-way player, would they, as an agent, say, you know what, Miami's your best chance to go find a way to create your own path to the NBA and eventually get paid? Is that a reputation that Miami has earned amongst agents right now?
Well, I haven't heard it in reference to that, but I have a friend that is an agent, and he said that there's a client that he would absolutely love to go to Miami. And he wasn't saying it from a vacation standpoint. He was just saying it from the culture and just how Miami just has an excellent track record of developing guys. And just like from my perspective, 2018, I was scouting, and I remember watching Max Strus, and I liked him. I liked him a lot. But I didn't have enough confidence in my ability as a scout to, like, verbalize it. So I'm like, well, he's not on anybody else's draft board. Maybe I'm seeing something that, you know, nobody else is seeing. But I wasn't confident enough to say that this guy is an NBA player, and he goes to Miami and, you know, high-level rotation guy on a winning team. So I think that, you know, if you are an agent and you have a guy that you feel is under the radar, you want him to go to Miami because, you know, they don't really have the – I guess don't play favorites in a sense. Like, it's whoever wins this spot. We don't care where you're at. So I think that that could be favorable for some agents as far as wanting their guys to go to Miami.
I want to carve into some individual players here, and the first name that comes to mind is Dalen Terry from Arizona. He's a guy that early in this draft process, or what we would consider early, I guess for you it's like years ago for this draft, but for us early, like a month ago, was being mocked at 27 by quite a bit of people to the Heat there. But lately kind of feels like he's one of the risers of this pre-draft process. Where do you see Dalen Terry landing in the first round? What do you think about his game overall?
I wish I knew the answer to that question, because I was at the combine, right? And I watched this pro day, and I sat next to a scout say, I think this kid is making a mistake by staying in the draft. He's like, I think he's going to stay. I have him as second round to potentially undrafted. I don't think he's that good of a shooter. He got hot at the end of the year, which kind of boosted his stats. And he just said, it just doesn't make sense for him to enter the draft when he can go to Arizona, be the man next year, collect NIL money, probably more guaranteed than what he would get as a second-round pick, and be a top-10 pick next year. And here we are a month later, and I've seen him mocked high as late lottery. So I think it's going to be an acquired taste in a sense. One thing I will say about him that I think really helped him out when I was at the combine, he had like this infectious personality. Like when the rest of the guys from his agency did their pro days, he was the one high-fiving, chest bumping. I mean, he was just excited for all of those guys as if it was his own pro day. And I thought, like, well, if you're a team, that translates in a sense. Like, let's say you are a team like Miami, where there may not be a lot of opportunities to play. But you have a guy that you feel like, you know, at the minimum, he's going to be a great teammate. We can develop him. He's not going to be someone that's probably going to be at the end of the bench pouting because he's not getting his opportunities. And I think sometimes when you have a team that's around each other for so long, you're looking for guys that you know are going to fit your locker room and your culture. And then on top of his great personality, he has some intriguing physical tools. So, I never thought about him to Miami, to be honest with you. But I could see Miami saying, you know, he has these tools. All we have to do is add the shooting to it, and we got a player here.
Because you don't think he'll be there? Is that why you never really thought of it? Or just because, you know, end of
first round? No, like I said, I think 15 to 35. Like, if he goes 16, yeah. I don't think that would be shocking to me. If he goes 35, I don't think I'd be stunned by that either. I was looking at Miami as a team, and even though he does – play the point guard, I always thought Miami would look for like a backup point guard, someone that can you know, possibly come in and be like a game manager. So I like Andrew Nembhard for Gonzaga. Yeah. I think that he's ready to come in and play right away, doesn't need to be developed. 4-year guy, actually started off at Florida, and at the minimum he comes in as your game manager. Reminds me of Tyus Jones, who's about to get paid this summer. Crafty passer that doesn't turn the ball over, and he made good strides as a shooter. So I think, like, for teams that feel like they're close to competing for a championship, I think you probably more lean towards a rookie that you feel like can come in and contribute right away.
We got some more people we want to ask you about here in a second, but first, David, let's tell the listeners about Prize Picks.
Well, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Made Easy. And easy is really what they're all about. As fantasy props and pick-ups get more popular, Prize Picks is making it easy for you to play. They do that with the best NBA DFS prop game on the market, offering more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds and even steals. And check out the Prize Picks Power Play. Here's how it works. You predict the over and under on a player's fantasy production. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected fantasy totals. For a limited time only, Prize Picks is an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. They get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores even a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. It's an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today. Use the code NBA. $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores even a single point. Do it all using the award-winning app on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Plus, Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
We're back here with Locked On Heat, joined by Rafael Barlow, director of scouting at NBA Big Board. It's a podcast. It's a newsletter. You should subscribe to both. David, I know that you were specifically wanting to ask Rafael about a prospect that he's interested in.
Yeah, I was really curious about your sit-down interview with Jake. He's not seen potentially fall to 27 at Miami. I guess there's some debate about, again, to your point, falling in between 50 and 35. But having seen the video of his play, like, to me, what stood out is that he's not necessarily an explosive athlete, but his high-level view, his passing ability would fit great into Miami's offense. And just hearing your conversation with him, it seemed like you were really able to just kind of dig beneath the surface about what kind of a person and player he is. More and more that I think about it, it seems like he might actually be a really great fit for Miami as that kind of 3-4 type wing player, a potential big that they could, you know, slot right in. And to your point, where you were hinting at before in the earlier segment, just a guy who can make an immediate impact. He doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of time to develop. He can come in, become a contributor right away. What were your overall thoughts on LaRavia and his fit in Miami?
I think that would be cool. And the thing about LaRavia that is interesting is that he's only 20 years old. He has a maturity level to him that's advanced beyond his years. Yeah. And though at one point his age was wrong and everybody thought he was 22, and then once it came out that he was 20, then his stock skyrocketed. So right. I like
much
him
more
a lot.
Interesting as a player.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy how 2 years could be the difference between first round and right. You know, middle of the second.
Undrafted.
But I think that, yeah, exactly. I think that he is like the best connector in this draft. He should be able to come in and knock down open shots. Now, no, he's not like this explosive vertical pop athlete, but at the combine, he finished in the top five, and I want to say one of the shuttle drills or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when people question whether or not he's going to be a good defender, I think it's honestly like a stereotype in a sense, because you know, he's not touching a backboard. He's not flying up down the court. But he has, like, the skill set that every team needs, outside shooting. He's a good passer. Yeah. Started off playing point guard. He's strong, good size. I mean, he had some good possessions defending Banchero, where yep. he just showed that he can move his feet. So I actually like that fit in Miami. And, like, for me, when it comes to, like, Miami, you know, Miami is known for having, like, this great culture, right? But then it's like, it's amazing to have that type of culture in Miami. I could see if it was like, I don't know, Milwaukee or something like that, not knocking right. the city, but right. you know, there's so many things to do in Milwaukee. There's so many ways to get in trouble. And I think with Jake, with his maturity, it doesn't matter where he's at. He's going to fit into that culture, and yeah. he's not going to fall in love with the nightlife. So I actually like that fit there.
Yeah, a lot of mock drafts have him there. The thing with LaRavia is, like, I watched him at first. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, everybody's got him at this end of the first round. And then the more you watch him, the more film you see on him, you're like, oh, wait, no, now I get it. Because he just fits really well. He's not doing anything to jump off the screen, but that's kind of his strength in a way. Like, I think it was a good way you put it. He's a connector. The passing and the cutting, to me, is what would fit in Miami, right? You just keep the ball moving, hit open threes, and do all these things, and obviously be a big wing for them and potentially even slide down to the four for them, which I think would be really interesting.
I want to ask something real fast with LaRavia. Well, I think he fits Miami's culture. He's not a guy that's been reading about himself since he was a little kid, you know? Mm. Like, there's guys, and it's not a knock on them, it's not necessarily their fault, but he's not one of these kids that have been praised since he was 15 as this next prodigy. He kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he went to Indiana State, had a big year, and he's put himself in position to be a first-round pick, which I think fits what Miami is looking for. So I actually love that fit.
What's his upside?
Is there a – oh, yeah.
I think his upside is your – yeah. I mean, connector is the best word I can use. I know I mentioned it before, but a guy that shoots the three, knocks down open shots, moves the ball – cuts, plays hard, just has a role that contributes to winning basketball.
Is there a comp that you see for him at the NBA level? Because I think for a lot of Heat fans, you could probably see some shades of Kelly Olynyk. I know not quite the same player, but Olynyk, another guard who grew up into a center, a smart passer, and also a three-point shooter as well. Is there somebody else that you think he might kind of have a similar game to?
Nah, that's a good one. I usually am decent at the comparisons, but I can't find a comparison for Jake, because I think he can play in the post a little bit. And honestly feel like if he would have shot threes with more volume, he shot 38% from three, but if he would have shot 4 or 5 a game, we probably wouldn't even be talking about him at that range for Miami.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Shane Battier with a little bit more bulk. Like Shane Battier in Miami, the way that they used him at the four a little bit.
High IQ, just did everything. Yeah, I can see that. And I actually like the cross-racial comparison. You know, it's very easy to just compare people of the same race to the same. And so I actually like that comparison.
Yeah, Christian Braun is Kevin Huerter, if you haven't heard. Like, it's just two white guys. That's just what it is. They don't play at all alike, but that's fine. Can I ask you about the G League guys? Because it's so interesting to try to scout the Ignite players, because they don't play as much as the college guys. The whole different route, I think people are still getting used to it. You kind of get mixed intel from people, because sometimes people just don't like the G League Ignite experience overall. So you get a little bit more bias when people talk about it. But Jaden Hardy, Marjon Beauchamp, I know there's a few higher in the draft, but we don't need to talk about them because they're not on the radar for Miami. Hardy and Beauchamp both played for the Ignite. To me, really different kinds of players. Jaden Hardy, score-first guy who needs to figure out in the NBA, okay, how's he going to do that in a smaller role, go from high usage in the G League to whatever it's going to be on whatever NBA team he's on, versus Beauchamp, who kind of feels like he's a guy who could exist in a smaller role, but almost to a detriment to him, because I'm not really sure what his upside is and how he can blossom from there. What are your thoughts on Hardy and Beauchamp?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting, because I had – wrote about it on NBA Big Board, how Jaden Hardy, if he would have did what Shaedon Sharpe is doing, he's a top 5 to 7 pick. He was very highly regarded coming into this season. Some people thought he had an outside chance of being number one. He was rated as a better high school player than, I'm sure, Jabari Smith, and I think he was ahead of Banchero or Chet, one of them. So he was the top guy in that class, goes to the G League, averages 17 points a game, plays against grown men, led the team in scoring, may not have been on the most efficient shooting, but it's interesting that it seemed to hurt him more than help him. Even though I think he got better playing in the G League, I don't think it did anything for his draft stock. So that is very interesting. And he's like the last guy to get invited to the green room. And part of me feels like the G League would have been making a, or the NBA in general would have been making a mistake if your highest profile guy coming into the year leads your team in scoring, but he doesn't get invited to the green room. Now that doesn't mean he'll get drafted, you know, in a top 20, but I thought that was very interesting. And cause he had all the numbers. I think the efficiency is the biggest concern or question. And then, Marjon is the opposite. He is a guy that can impact games without having to need – he doesn't really need touches. I think he can impact games as a cutter, a transition finisher. He just plays hard. And if the outside shot ends up developing, then you have a I think, a top 7 rotation player.
Yeah, I like Beauchamp. I like his game overall. Like, the 3-and-D minus the 3 right now, but yeah. A little bit more explosive. Just he seems to have a high IQ and an understanding of exactly what to do defensively. Like his rotations are sharp, and that's something that's missing from a lot of young players. So the fact that he already has this, at least from my opinion, and that he's able to incorporate it and has the athleticism where he can maximize that skill and awareness, I think that bodes well. It seems like that probably translates because so many young guys rarely make that such an emphasis on defense. And the fact that he already has, I think he's a good fit, especially for, again, a Miami team that's looking for somebody to come in and become an immediate contributor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the outside shot is the swing skill for him. And if he can develop it. But if I'm not mistaken, prior to playing in the G League in high school, he had a reputation as a shooter. But the G League is interesting. It was hard to like find accurate stats because if you go on their website, they only have 14 games, while overall they played more games. So it was hard to determine which games made the stats. I know Michael Foster.
I had Beauchamp at, he had 39.8% on 103 attempts in JUCO, right, before he went to the G League team. So that's 100 attempts is a pretty decent sample.
Yeah, and but he didn't really shoot it well in the G League. So, but if he can get back to that, you know, then you get a steal if you get him this late in the draft.
He's a really fluid athlete, obviously long, 6'6", with a 7'1" wingspan. My only thing is he's very mechanical. He's like, you could see him thinking the game. Like, you could see him thinking through things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like what David, you said, like, that's a good thing. You don't really see a lot of guys, he's got good intentions. And that, you can't really say that about every player coming to the draft, where sometimes they're like, yo, I just want to get buckets. Where Beauchamp is very much like, all right, I just want to play winning basketball. And as he gets older, that thinking will be a little bit more second nature. So I think it's a little bit of a long play there, but there's enough there also where you could see him maybe making an immediate impact at some scale. All right, we're going to continue our conversation here with Rafael Barlow, director of scouting over at NBA Big Board, getting to some sleepers. And I've got to ask you about a couple of centers that I really, really like, Rafael, but that's coming up next. David, first, let's talk to the listeners about Rock Auto.
The episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions? You go in there, you start asking about your car. Maybe you don't know exactly what you're asking for. You start to feel uncomfortable, nervous. You don't want to go through that. That's a pain that you don't want to necessarily deal with. When you have access to the same computer that they do at those stores, which means you've got access to rockauto.com, a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 2 decades. Their website is so easy to use. I've used it myself several times. You just input your car that you're trying to find the right parts for, and you can find exactly what you're looking for at great everyday prices. No matter who you are, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a mechanic or anybody in between, you'll find what you're looking for at a reasonable price at rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then go to the section that says, how'd you hear about us? And write the phrase "locked on" so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com.
Okay, back here with Locked On Heat, Wes Goldberg with David Ramil and Rafael Barlow, talking about some of the guys that could be available at number 27 for the Miami Heat on Thursday night's NBA draft. Remember that we are going live after the draft on the Locked On Heat YouTube channel, so subscribe now to get an alert when we have gone live so you can catch that with us. Rafael, Koloko or Kessler?
Oh, you're setting me up here, Wes. I can already feel it.
Koloko.
Koloko. Okay, good. Tell me why.
You know, this is a tough question because I know Dwayne Dedman personally. So,
do you? So you don't want the Heat to draft his replacement?
No, not at all. I was actually, I forgot the scout's name, but when Miami flew to LA to watch him work out, me and my brother actually did the workout. So we put him through the drills, which was a whole bunch of 3-point shooting drills. And then Miami's like, no, he got to roll to the basket. At least he shot more threes this year. But the first year, I don't think he had any attempts. So I'm a little, you know, biased because I want Dwayne to stay in Miami. I think he's been great. But I would say
He can mentor one of these guys. It doesn't have to be a replacement right away.
That's true. I would say Koloko. I think there's a lot of potential in his outside shot. I actually spoke with him at the combine, and I was asking him about his shooting because he didn't make a single three in college at all. And then he made like 16 out of 25 at a three-point star drill at the combine. So my question to him was this something that you always had? Is this something that you're working on? Or you just didn't have the green light to shoot it? And he mentioned that he had been working on it. He just didn't have the green light to shoot it. And that he shoots about 1,000 jump shots a day, preparing for the draft. He comes in at night and just focuses on threes and pick and pops. So he's really looking to expand his range. And if he pans out as a shooter, we're talking about somebody that could be similar to Dwayne in a sense, an energy guy, rim protector that can occasionally pick and pop and knock down shots. And that's valuable for every team. There's not many of those guys in the league.
Yeah. David, are you sold?
A little bit more now that I hear about his improved outside shot. Like, that's certainly a concern. Like, we had an episode, Raphael, where we were talking about the center position. Both of us seem to be in agreement that with Omer Yurtseven on the roster already and under contract and significantly younger and locked in at the starting center position, they're more than likely to probably, if they're going to improve or upgrade the center position, they're probably obviously not going to be able to re-sign Dwayne Dedmon. And if they're looking at the draft as an option, we looked at Kessler and Koloko. And I mean, it made me seem like I was out on both of them. I was, to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of Koloko's game. Kessler's less so than Koloko. And now hearing that Koloko is able to improve his outside shot a little bit and become more of an impact player at the next level offensively. Like, the rim protection is fine and good and all that at the same time. Like, that tends to be a little exaggerated because, again, swatting sharp players, and that doesn't necessarily mean to have that kind of same impact when you're going against NBA-level athletes. And so I was a little bit more concerned that he was able to become a good, decent rotation player. Much more so, I thought the possibility was there with Koloko than Kessler. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Kessler necessarily, but I just – you know, we had Bruce Pearl on the show. He spoke to Wes. He made it like seem like Kessler was a really great big with a lot of upside and, you know, all the size and everything that could, you know, change the outcome of a game. And all I see him is be kind of slow-footed. And he's 7 foot whatever. And, yeah, he can cover a lot of ground that way. He's going to get taken out of games at the NBA level. I just don't see him being able to make that same kind of impact.
Are any of those guys like end of first round type of talents? Because you've seen him mocked. I mean, again, it kind of goes back to what you were saying. Like, it's so fluid, but you see him mocked in the second round a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought Koloko would be higher, especially after the way he shot the ball at the combine. Yeah. But it seems like based off of mocks, it hasn't really done a lot for his stock. Mm-hmm. But here's a thought about Kessler. I didn't think about this until you mentioned his name. Remember how Hassan Whiteside he had that big year as just this shot blocker? And I know the game has changed since then, but I'm like, what if he ends up having like this Whiteside type impact where when he comes in, he's getting like 12 rebounds and 4 blocks and 13 points? I mean, of course, there's not a pathway for him to be the starter right away. But for some reason, I see him being successful and actually – thriving in that system. So but I still would go with Koloko just because I think the outside shooting puts him over the top, while Kessler is, I mean, he had like a record breaking year as far as block shots, and I think the only person that had a better year was ironically Hassan Whiteside.
That's all a right. comp that has me even less likely to
I think you mean like Whiteside, like year
no,
one,
I know,
like
I
he
know.
Actually cares. Yeah.
not when he had the $100 million in his bank account. As things change a little bit.
We're running out of time here, but I wanted to get your take because the Heat don't have a second round pick, but they could buy their way into the second round. And based on some of the workouts and the things that we know, that doesn't seem like an unlikely thing. Or like you said, maybe you work it with your agent where they go undrafted. But sleepers, even at the end of the first round, what are some names that you're thinking of?
So there's a guy that I really like. If you're talking about a backup center, I would take a flyer on him. His name is Abu Baji, and I've talked about him for a while. When I first saw him play in 2019, I just thought, okay, this guy's going to be the number one pick whenever he comes out. He hasn't really gotten any better. A lot of it is just pure natural talent. So he's like 7'1", 7'8", 7'9", wingspan, 40-inch vert. I mean, think of like Rudy Gobert with, like, I don't know, Marvin Bagley athleticism, but it's just all natural gifts. Like, it's extremely raw. It's, you know, like, it's all, again, natural. and he just has not made any improvements since 2019. But he's playing in Spain. He was in the Barcelona system, which, you know, that's one of the top clubs in Europe. So he has had good coaching. I just think that maybe, you know, it's a very low risk, high reward guy that you can probably sign. Don't have to commit a lot of money to. If he works out, it's great. You're going to get a lot of value. If he doesn't work out, you didn't spend any money to get him. But he is like my top guy that I could see going undrafted that I think has tremendous upside and potential.
Last thing here. Can you give us the elevator pitch on Justin Lewis out of Marquette? Because we're getting a lot of questions about him. There's obvious Marquette ties for the Heat between Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. So Marquette has Heat fans in Miami. Justin Lewis, elevator pitch.
You know, he seems like a Heat culture guy. He's strong. He's tough. I probably learn a lot because he has a combination. It's a weird combination. A little bit of Jimmy Butler and a little bit of PJ Tucker. As far as I know, that's like the weirdest combination. But as far as just like being strong, tough, gritty, he has a little bit more offensive game than PJ. But he could be like this small ball 5 or 4. I think he is athletic enough to where he can defend some threes, especially with Miami when he's surrounded by good defenders. Well, the comparison to Butler is he's a Marquette guy. You know, there's like this consistency with Marquette guys of being like really, really tough and physical. So I see him as like a Miami Heat type culture guy. And of course, Jimmy's going to look out for him and make sure that he's, you know, maximizing his gifts. But he's intriguing because he has extremely long arms, and I think he has a lot of upside as a shooter. But even though he averaged like 17 points a game, I think his best role is as a defender. And if he can, you know, transition and accept like, okay, my role with Miami is to be a defender, then I think he could help.
Very interesting. Rafael Barlow, thank you so much for your time. You've been very generous. I know it's a really busy week for you. Remember, you could catch him over on the NBA Big Board podcast, as well as the NBA Big Board newsletter on Substack and a bunch of other places here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But that will do it for us today. Remember to like and subscribe to Locked On Heat on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Comment and leave a 5-star rating and reach us on Twitter at Locked On Heat. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. For the first picks of the ultimate NBA mock draft, they've been made. Search now for the ultimate NBA mock draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey sports experts, the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode ultimate NBA mock draft is underway. Make ultimate NBA mock draft your second listen today.